We are joined live today in studio by Max Collins of Eve 6. How's it going, man?
It's going well, Devo.
Now, you have a new album out yourself that I want to talk about. First of all, kind of explain what the album is, how it sounds in comparison to Eve 6, et cetera, like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I made a solo record in January. I just wrote I wrote a bunch of songs, and I guess, you know, it's a song, you know, from looking at just the songs on the acoustic guitar, you know, Eve 6 to this record, they're not wildly different stylistically, but production-wise, it's primarily an acoustic record. It's a little bit more kind of raw and points more directly toward influences I have that maybe aren't super apparent to someone who's familiar with Eve 6. And I'm doing this Pledge Music campaign mm-hmm. for it, which is similar to Kickstarter and these crowdfunded things. What you do if you're willing and able is you go to pledgemusic.com and you click on my picture and a bunch of options will come up on the screen for things that, you know, there are manufactured goods that are being offered like shirts and CDs, but then there's also, you know, we can get matching tattoos together.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
You know, we can do that. If you pledge, we can get matching tattoos together. You can come with me and my friends to Medieval Times
for a day
in Medieval Times eating, you know, chicken.
I was thinking Cable Guy. Remember that movie where they go to?
Yeah, totally.
It's a great flick.
It wouldn't be dissimilar to that. Probably even a little bit more surreal.
Yeah.
You know? And as well as, you know, I'll play an acoustic show in your living room wearing the outfit of your choice. And we say, just so that people really know that we're serious, that can be, you know, that can be a tuxedo or that can be a Speedo and goggles and
a gun holster. Could it be a birthday suit possibly for the ladies listening right now?
I've gotten in trouble for that, doing just that before.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, then we won't
I'm
do that.
I'm gonna say
one.
No, but yeah.
All right, we're talking to Max right now from Eve 6. We're gonna talk. I want to talk about your new album too that came out. It was last April. How's that going? And tell us about that compared to the old sound.
It went really well. You know, we toured on it a lot last year. The record did well. We had success at radio, with the single and stuff. And yeah, it was a successful kind of venture for sure.
Now we're going to talk more about the current stuff, but let's kind of go back and move our way forward. So 1995, you guys formed in the LA area, and you had a couple different names. 11teen was one of them for a long time. But I find this really impressive. To me, at least, this is impressive. You guys had a recording contract to RCA while you were in high school. So
we
how
did
you secure that? And what do you remember about the day it happened? You know, the actual day it happened. What sticks out memory wise?
It was a series of happy accidents. And looking back, I don't know. It was just very strange. We didn't have much ambition, certainly less than most musicians in Los Angeles that we knew. We were sort of just this little punk rock band playing all ages, you know, clubs and dives and stuff. And a scout from an indie label ended up seeing us at this venue one night, and through that somehow led to A&R at RCA. And next thing we knew, we were signing a deal with RCA and making a record a couple months after we graduated from high school.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So Eve 6, the name. How did it get from 11teen to Eve 6? What was that story?
Well, that A&R man that I was just speaking of, he thought it seemed a little bit, I don't know, redundant or kitschy or something. The fact that we were teenagers and that was invariably going to be part of our story, and that we had teen in the name, he felt smacked of, I don't know, something that he didn't like. Yeah, maybe. So he suggested we change the name. We were avid X-Files watchers at the time.
Oh, cool.
Which, yeah. And so Eve 6 was a character from one of the episodes from, I think, the first season to, you know, solidly date ourselves once again.
Hey, you're my age, so we're not that old. We're not that old. Okay, so I was talking to you off air about this, but I remember you in the Bonfire tour in 1998.
Yeah,
in Nebraska, and my ex-girlfriend trying to score with you. She was hoping to do like a little cut shirt.
At least it was your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, right. Well, after that, right? Yeah. But those days, going back to, like, you know, when you first started, so you're kind of becoming household names. It had to have been kind of crazy. You were still probably, what, like 20 back then? Or
yeah, it was very weird.
What was that like back then? Like the touring, the Third Eye Blind, and that whole kind of just era. What was that? Is it surreal when you look back at
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was really awesome. It was really scary. It was I don't know. It was great, kind of. But it was definitely, you know, we were kids out of high school, you know, processing it like kids out of high school, mm-hmm. you know, on tour with a band who, you know, we heard on the radio and looked up to a lot, and it seemed like weeks went by before we were opening for them. So yeah, it was one of those, you know, it felt like a Great American kind of tale or something like that.
Yeah, it was. We're talking to Max from Eve 6 right now. The song Inside Out first put you on the map back then. What do you remember about when you came up with that? Where were you at when you wrote it? What does it mean to you? All that kind of stuff.
I wrote the verse and the choruses in my parents in my bedroom at my parents' house where I lived in high school. I wrote the second verse in my 12th grade English class.
That's cool.
Yeah. And yeah.
It just
became that song, yeah.
Did you know it'd be the one that kind of put you, I mean, did you know that when you wrote it, that like, yeah, this is going to be a hit someday?
I always feel like a jerk saying this, but yeah, I sort of did. I remember telling Sweet Pea, that's what we emotionally call our guitar player, John Siebels. I remember telling Sweet Pea, I said, I feel like this song could be on the radio. And I said that without any, I didn't have any place to say, but then it was a lot
too.
Yeah.
It still is too.
Yeah.
For that, the first time you heard it on the radio, where were you at?
We were driving, you know, willfully driving toward a radio station that we knew was going to be playing the song mm-hmm. for the first time. It was like an hour and a half, 2 hours north of LA. And the radio station was crackling in between like a mariachi station and the station that
looking
for.
You can't quite get it.
Yeah. So it was like one of those perfect moments where the first guitar chord rung out, it became clear enough. And that was a pretty cool moment.
I got to ask you about one more song in particular that I love off the next album, Horoscope. A lot of great songs on that one, including Here's to the Night. So
thanks.
Same question for that song. What was the story of that? Where'd you come up with it, et cetera?
We were on tour for the first record. We were in, Little Rock. We were in Little Rock, and I was playing the acoustic guitar on the bus, and I got that melody, the chorus melody, and then I wrote the lyrics when we were in the studio.
That quick.
That was actually like a year and a half later.
Oh, you had it for a while.
I had it for a while, yeah.
You were on, back at that time, TRL, Letterman, Leno. I think that song was like number one on TRL for like 2 months or something like that. But
yeah.
You're, out of all those types of shows, any funny Dave or Leno memories or anything like that?
Yeah, well, that was, I remember Letterman just being, that was sort of the coolest for us for some reason. I don't know. We were probably the biggest fans of him. But, well, I guess Conan was the first one we did. So yeah, I don't know. TRL was terrifying. That was just
really?
So weird. Yeah,
a lot of people around.
Because it's sort of like it's all manipulated, and they have someone saying like cue the screaming girls and stuff.
Oh.
And it just felt a little icky.
Like contrived type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be kind of odd.
Yeah.
Another album in 2003, the third one came out. It's All in Your Head. Think Twice. I loved Hey Montana.
Thanks.
On the album a lot. Then in 04, you guys kind of disbanded because of mental and physical exhaustion. Was it really as simple as that? And then at that time, did you think you might get back together, or did you think that was it at that point?
Yeah, it sounds really silly to say when you're talking about like rock and roll music and people that get to play it for a living. But I think the fact that we were as young as we were when things started to happen, and that we didn't necessarily, you know how to kind of deal with all of this incredible stuff in the most healthy ways. We dealt with them in the very predictable, unhealthy ways, at least, you know, some of us more than others. Certainly I did. And so, yeah, I think we just needed time to kind of regroup and reset and all that.
Rockstar lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
You got to do it once, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So in 2007, Eve 6 was, from what I didn't know all this till the other day, but 2/3 back together, right? Two of you three, you guys were
right.
Guys
we started playing out again with a friend of ours on guitar, John Sweet Pea, mm-hmm. current original guitar player, was obliged to another band at the time. But we're now, you know, all
back
three original members, yeah.
Since 2011. So yep. The first time you guys got to, was it just like all, you know, like no time had passed when you got back together?
It really was. I mean, yeah, there's that chemistry thing. You know, it felt like coming home. It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like riding a bike.
Yeah.
So the new album is Speak in Code, like we talked about. Again, tell us about that record, how it compares to earlier Eve 6 stuff, and also let's talk about your record again as well. Both.
Cool, cool. Yeah, well, Speaking Code, I don't know, it's just sort of a combination of songs that we'd had kicking around for a while, since there was this chasm of time between records 3 and 4. So it was strange in that normally you write a record and you have like a few months to do it and record it. Mm-hmm. So it's all the songs come from the same time period. With this, there were some songs from 7 years ago, and there were some songs from yesterday. So it was a little bit of a feat picking which ones made sense together and stuff. And I think the record sounds like that a little bit. Some songs sound a little, you know, unlike each other, But I feel like it, you know, we're proud of this stuff that made it on.
And then your record in particular?
Yeah, I just love it. I love my new record. And it's, yeah, I don't know. It was cool to just be able to kind of shed or not really trouble myself with what people might expect from me or from Eve Six or anything like that. And just kind of get back to what moves me, and just making decisions, each decision along the way, what moves me, what feels good, and nothing else, you know?
That's so, gotta be refreshing, isn't it, for
yeah,
once?
Yeah, it was really nice.
And then, so for you personally and for Eve Six, what's the future hold, if you had it your way?
Well, I plan to tour this solo record, and I'm gonna be busy for the next few months doing things like going to Medieval Times with
yes.
with the wonderful people who have made this record possible for me. And
getting a matching cat tattoo with me because I'm a cat fanatic.
Dude, we'll do a cat.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
That's great.
I'm not going to really discriminate, you know. I mean, I am to a degree. I'm not going to do anything that's, you know, clearly over the line. But it's almost like the more ridiculous, the better. I forgot to mention the highest priced option is called Your Face, My Album Cover.
Oh.
And it's for an obscene price, but we did this purposefully, looking at it as, you know, if no one takes this pledge, that's a good thing. And if someone takes this pledge, that's a good thing. So it's sort of a win-win, because if no one pledges for it, I don't have to have some random person's face as my album cover.
Right.
If someone does, I get a lot of money to put
maybe
toward the
like
record.
Maybe like Mila Kunis will buy it or something.
That would be incredible.
That could be good. You know?
I'm good friends with Art from Everclear, and we were at Starbucks the other day, and he was saying how awesome it would be if he got that pledge.
He was in here a couple months ago. He's great.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Art's a good guy. Well, we appreciate everything. Anything else you want to add that we didn't get to?
No, thank you for having me. Love thank it. You.
Thanks so much for coming in, man. Take care.
Thanks, man.